You're listening to a podcast from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning. How are we doing? Good. Awesome. Hey, Metro is joining us, so let's make some noise for Metro. Yo, we love you. We love you. Awesome. And yeah, you're wondering, oh, he had a little too much coffee. And the answer is correct. Correct. Also, we got live stream in the house too. So let's make some noise for our online community, regardless where you are. If we got Netherlands in the house, what's up, Wittermans? We're excited. We have people on staff here who are part of us for so many years, and they moved to the Netherlands and they watch online, so they join us. So we've got a campus in the Netherlands. Yes. So we're excited about that. Yes. Thank you. Their relatives are here, apparently. Yeah. Hey, excited that you're here. If you're a guest here, thanks so much for joining us. We're actually in a conversation, a series called a Relational Intelligence, and we started about 2 weeks ago, and obviously last week, everything kind of changed. You guys remember last week? Right? Yeah. I wasn't going to say our flow interrupted our flow because it's cheesy, but I said it anyways. Regardless of what my son thinks, it interrupted a lot of things that we were planning on doing. One of which was the ICU Talks Mental Health Conference. Yes, and so, okay, you're clapping because it got interrupted. So just so you guys know, no, but so we have rescheduled. It is October 13th. October 13th. So if you signed up for it, you want to make sure you know it's October 13th. You probably got an email about that. And if you thought, man, I wanted to sign up and I wanted to attend, but I couldn't, now you got a chance to do it. The great thing about this is that it's something that I believe will change a lot of your lives. I really believe that in terms of your relationships, because it's really addressing some key issues that affect all our relationships. And we're doing a series about that because we want to be a community, a church that really does really well when it comes to relationships and it comes to just making sure that we are living wholehearted, full lives. And so this is a great opportunity for some of you. Some of you guys need to go as a couple because you're thinking, we do marriage counseling, we've done this, we've done that. Maybe a single adult, you're thinking, what's going on with my life? I'm not quite sure. Grab some friends, sign up for this. And here's the cool thing. All the proceeds are actually going, they're not making any money off of this, they're actually going and supporting a local family here. So this is a really great cause. So sign up for this. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I didn't know how to end it. I was like, amen. That's how pastors say, amen. All right. So we're in a series, right? Relational intelligence. And we kicked off talking about self-awareness. And if you missed this, so if you're watching or you just walked into Mosaic and you want to catch up, you can do it online. Obviously, we have a website. Our messages are on that. But also YouTube. So if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, Mosaic YouTube channel, it'll prompt you and let you know when the next video is up. And so you can follow along. You can also share it. So subscribe to the YouTube channel if you love Jesus. Why are you guys not writing this down? Okay, but seriously, I think that's the easiest way to do that. We're talking about, today's topic is this idea of transparency. So a couple of weeks ago was self-awareness, we took a break, now transparency. What do you think about when you think about this idea of being transparent? I do believe that it is so important for us to talk about it because I think for so many of us, it is that one missing ingredient in your relationships. It's the one thing that you don't even know you're running into. You don't even know it because there's something that's not connecting in your relationship. You've known this person for so many years. You've known that you've had this relationship, you've had this friendship, but there's something that you can't get past and you don't know what's really going on. Transparency might be the issue. Are you transparent? Do you practice transparency? Do you have any idea what that even looks like? I was reminded by... when I was thinking about this, I was reminded by a couple of, I think last year or so, I spoke at a church, another church called Mosaic. It's in Arkansas, and they had a conference, and I was speaking at it. This church actually is a sort of a sister church. I mean, I know the pastor, he's a great guy, but they actually took our Hope for All. If you've seen Hope for All shirts anywhere, anybody have Hope for All shirts? Yes? Yeah, of course we do. And they took Hope for All, our phrase, and now they have Hope for All shirts, which is cool. So we changed it on them. We put it in Spanish. They have no idea. They're like, what is that? Okay, so for those of you who did not know what this was. Okay, anyway, so I was speaking at this conference, and I was the guy who was going to go up right after the break. And during the break, I decided I was going to go get some coffee, because coffee obviously helps me. And so I went to go get some coffee, and I was walking into the auditorium. This is a new, this is not a place I'm familiar with. And they had this cool door to the auditorium, which was actually transparent. You know, it was like a plexiglass door kind of a thing, and I don't know. I was walking, and I ran right into the wall. Now, I thought the door was going to open up because I'd been through the door, but the problem was it was a transparent door, and right next to it was a transparent wall. And I just was like, and I'm thinking about my thoughts and all. And I went, I hit it so hard that people in the foyer were like, whoa. Hey, and you know how you see someone do something pretty tragic, and you don't know, but you really, you feel bad, but you really want to laugh, right? Oh, I had so many of those. Like, they're like, oh, that's so funny. And the coffee went everywhere. I'm going to go up and speak now, right? And what's funny, though, is there are three kinds of people. One, people in the background, like some of you guys, were like, oh, that was hilarious. Where was my phone? This would have been a great story, right? There were other people around me that started apologizing for the door. I'm so sorry. Like, staff people who were with me, they're like, oh, we're so sorry. I don't know why. I'm like, they were apologizing. This door always does this. We don't know why. This wall. I'm like, why are you apologizing for this wall? It's always been there. It's always been there, okay? But for me, I wasn't embarrassed. I was confused. I don't know what hit me. I was like, what did I, it hit me so hard that I was like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you get hit, you know what happened. Sometimes you get hit, you're like, what just happened? So I'm like, what? And people are like, what's going on with you? I'm like, forget about all this. What hit me? What did I run into? And then I was like, oh, this is the door, this is the wall. But this doesn't open? They're like, no, it doesn't open. I was like, oh, okay. The whole time I'm thinking, what is hitting me? What's going on? And what is this doing here either? Let me fix this. Yeah, I was like, what is this? What did I just hit? And so what's funny though is that I think I've, in relationships, I've had conversations with people and or you think the relationship is going a certain place, and you honestly hit a relational wall. You hit a wall that you don't know existed. Have you ever been there? Like, I was talking to someone who's like just frustrated with this whole dating scene, okay? And they're like, this dating scene really stinks these days. And they're on, I think it's called Bumble. Is it Bumble? No one wants to admit it. They're like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. That sounds like a B. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay? Metro, you know what I'm talking about. You're keeping it real. Yeah, you're all on Bumble. Anyway, so you're like, oh, yeah, you meet someone, and then you start talking to them, and then you just, you hang out, but you might be hanging out for like 3 weeks, but you still don't know who they are. Like, because everybody's just kind of, they under-communicate. Does that make sense? Like, you feel transparent, you feel the lack of transparency when someone just under-communicates. They just tell you just enough, and you're like, I want more. Do you realize we will never see each other again if you don't say anything else? You know, just give me some more. You've seen this in workspaces, too. Like, there are people in your life that just, they don't communicate, they just communicate enough. Does that make sense? You're like on a need-to-know basis. It's like everything is a secret mission. Like, what? Why? Can you just tell me everything there is to do about this project? Like, just communicate. And there seems to be a lack of transparency. We feel this. We know this. How about when I wrote this down? How about when you're in a relationship with people, and but there are certain subjects that there are like you cannot go there. You can't go there. We don't talk about this. Anybody have that in your family? Like, no, we don't talk about that. But it's happened. Yeah, baby. We don't do it. We don't do it. And you might enter into this family and start talking about it. They're like, oh, no. Back it up. Do not talk about this. We just don't go there. See, that dynamic, that culture says we have relationships, but there's not like transparency there. No, you're going to hit an invisible wall. You can't go past it. What about when you have people in your life, and there are a few people in your life, and you always have to be on for them? Does that make sense? Like, you have to be on. You got to play a role. You got to be on. You got to be on. You can't be off. You can't let your hair down in one sense. You have to be just on. You don't even know sometimes you're doing that because you are exhausted when they leave. You're like, oh my gosh, I had a workout. Why? Because you've been on. You've been on. You've just been hyper. If I were to take your pulse, you would feel that it's been elevated. You just have to be on. Why? Because there's a missing element there. There's this lack of transparency. There's a wall there. Just like, yeah, you can't really go there. What about when you feel like people in your life where you have to walk on eggshells around them? It's different than being on. It's just like you don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know what the deal is. Because the reason is that they seem to be like, oh, yeah, I'm good and this is who I am. But you know there's something about them that you're just like, if I say something, they're going to go off. Anybody have people in your life that you're afraid of them going off? You're like, I'm not going to raise my hand because they're here. I don't want them to go off. You know, like, Could it be possible that it's transparency? It's a lack of just being transparent in our relationships. I really do believe for some of us, it's the missing ingredients. In your marriage, it's the missing ingredients. In your relationship with God, it's the missing ingredients. It's this idea of like, I want to just put a wall up there, even though it's see-through in one sense, but there is a wall. You can't get around it. And it's used for protection. It's used for security. It's used for a lot of different things. And for some reason, for some people, we have a good reason for those walls up because we're afraid. For others of us, we've been taught this way. But the reason why we're talking about relational intelligence and trying to be like relational ninjas, that's what we call it, is that we have to learn. We have to learn to have deep relationships because it's relationships that's the context of life. Everything we do is in the context of relationships. You live in that reality. I live in that reality. And people are not going away. Did you know that? They're not going away. And you and I were made for people to know you and for you to know people. You were made to have these deep, deep relationships. So this morning, what I want to do is want to take us through what does it look like to be transparent. Now, I don't know what you think of. Like, I kind of researched this idea of the word transparent, and it mentioned a couple of things. This idea that it allows light in, which is an interesting thought, right? A material that allows light in. What about this meaning? It says easy to perceive or detect. Like, it's just, you're just easy to perceive. Like, have you met someone where you're like, I know we've been talking for like 2 hours, but I don't know who you are. Like, you're like, who are you? Like, 3 hours later, you're still a stranger. Like, what's going on? What about this open to public scrutiny? A person who's transparent, like a government that's transparent, is what? Open to what? Scrutiny. Like, we see this in groups, we see this in people, that if they're not transparent, but transparency, we understand that. Here's another interesting thing. In physics, it says here, the meaning for transparent is this idea of transmitting heat or other electromagnetic rays without distortion, which I thought was a very geeky, nerdy, cool idea of being transparent, where you're a person where when you are told something and when you communicate, so when you take in information and then you actually give it out, there seems to be this no distortion between it. You're a person that is easily used as a conduit for blessing. There's no agenda that you are twisting to help you in your other relationships. This other thing was, this other meaning or translation was pretty cool too. It was this idea of computing in computers. It says computing, functioning without the user being aware of its presence. Like a transparent program is one that it functions without the user being aware of its presence. And I love this because it's like it becomes second nature. So if you if we learn to become transparent, if we learn the trick, not the trick, but the tool to be transparent. So if we exercise transparency, there will come a time where it'll be just second nature. You don't have to think, okay, be open, be honest, be vulnerable. No, you'll just live a life like that. And that's why there are people in your life that are so easy to get along with. They're so easy to just relate to. It's just easy. And then there are people that are just super hard. Have you ever had a conversation and you're like, I'm dying here? Anybody? I'm just like, what else do we talk about? Nothing. What do we talk about? Panthers. You don't even like football. You're like, I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what to do here. Transparency is hard. Why? Because it's connected to vulnerability. And who likes to be vulnerable? Anybody? Raise your hand high. I'm the only one in the room. Right. No one likes that. No one likes that. Why? Because it hits hard. It's super hard. And for some of us, based on our personality, transparency and vulnerability and relationships are easier. If you've ever heard of this, it's a personality test called Strength Finders. It was very popular at least a decade ago. It's still popular in business world. And Strength Finders, what they do is that, you know, if you've taken any kind of personality test, this one in particular gives you, there are about 32 words, but it gives you your top 5 words that describe you. So our staff has taken it, and I'm sure maybe in your you've taken it at some point. But if you don't know anything about it, what's fascinating about this is like it'll tell you how you're wired up, and it'll give you like your number one word that describes you. And so it's got some cool words like relator and ideation, this idea of like you like ideas, futuristic, achiever, a harmony. You know, it explains your personality. It's called Strength Finders. Look it up if you haven't taken it. It's really cool. My number one, my top one is this word that they've made up. It's called woo. Right. Some of you guys are like, mm-hmm. Woo. What is that? I don't even know. I was like, woo? Like woo, woo, woo? Like what do I do? What's happening here? And the word there is that the ability to win people over. My number one gift is the ability to win people over. So you guys, some of you guys are like, that explains everything. I thought we were best friends, and you don't even like my posts. I know. I'm sorry. Okay? My problem is I'll make you feel like I'm your best friend. But a lot of people are my best friends. Like that, and there's a problem to that. You see, at first it says, oh, my personality lends itself to being really great relationally. Not necessarily. Because the reason why I have so much woo is because my focus is I want you to like me. So you know what I don't like? Conflict. Conflict. I don't like conflict, and I don't like drama. I don't like drama. And so I'm not really great relationally, even though I have the ability to win people over. See, when it comes to transparency, regardless of your predisposition of your personality, we're all on the same level here when it comes to that. We all have to learn to do that. And what's great about the scriptures is that it actually talks about it. Jesus gives us a great, great idea and a great picture of what it actually looks like. So let's go to John chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. So John chapter 4, Jesus practiced transparency. He calls us to it. So John chapter 4, it starts off verse 13. It says, Jesus, this is the story of Jesus hanging out at the well with a Samaritan woman. And so if you don't know the story, basically what it is that his disciples have gone out. They've been doing a lot of good work, and these guys have gone out to get some food. He stops at a well, and there's a lady who comes there and takes water. If you know that story, she's coming to get water. It's in the middle of the afternoon, which is odd because that's not when usually women come to get water, because it's so hot and they got to carry it all the way back. But anyways, this woman's there, he's there, they start talking, and Jesus asks her for a drink. And so he goes, why are you asking me for a drink? Because you're Jewish, I'm Samaritan, which was a big deal because he was talking to people that were other. He was talking to people that some people thought, you don't talk about those people. We don't associate with those people. Like, we all have people we think they're others, right? The other people, like they believe in that and they vote this way, and they're those kinds of Christians. Do you know those kinds of Christians? Anybody know those kinds of Christians? Anybody have those kinds of Christians, right? Because to them, you're those kinds of Christians. So we're all those kinds of Christians, by the way. Anyways, so it was like those kinds of believers, those kinds of people, right? So she goes, why are you asking me, right, for a drink? Then Jesus replies, and he says, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. So like this water, you'll get thirsty again. He says, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It will become a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Go get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with. Now, you certainly spoke the truth. What a shocking interaction, right? Like, it's like, okay, I just met you, and we're getting deep right here. Getting really deep. Oh, go get your husband. Oh, no, you haven't had, like, it seems like Jesus is being harsh. Like, oh, you're right. In fact, you've had five husbands. I mean, that's really weird to meet a stranger, and they know everything about you, right? It's like, what's going on? He gets in really close, really fast. What's going on here? See, Jesus, I want to tell you, offers this idea of transparency with a couple of phrases. Number one, the phrase, water I give you. The other one is spring in them. And this big idea of eternal life. So let me break it down for you. He starts off and he goes, hey, I know why you've been coming here. I know that you're judged, and that's why you're coming in the afternoon and getting water. But let me just tell you something. I want to give you something. I want to offer you something. I want to get you out of where you are right now. I'm calling you out of living in the shadows and living in darkness. I want to call you out of this. I want to give you something. And I want you guys to know that if you're at Mosaic, you're at Metro, and you're thinking, you know, what does God want from me? He's inviting you into light. He's inviting you out of your shame. He's inviting you all out of everything that you think that you have to keep on pretending to be. And so relationships should start with this idea of like, okay, the water I give you. Jesus goes, I'm offering you something, a security, a confidence, identity that we talked about first week, something that gives you the confidence to actually be the person you're meant to be. And so you can be really, truly real with everybody that you are, so you don't have to keep pretending to be someone. I'm giving you this opportunity to come out. And I think in relationships, if you have people in your life that are really wise and they're learning to be more healthy, they always give you an opportunity to come out of things, come out of insecurity, and come out of darkness. This idea of like, I want to give to you. You see, some of you guys are waiting around for the perfect person. You're looking around, you're online, you're like, who's this person? Who's this person? What can I? And you have to understand, how important this idea of giving is. If a person in your life, at a job, in a culture, is not a person who wants to give, like, or just take. You don't want to be in that relationship, regardless how hot they are, regardless how much benefit they have as a company. If it's about self-serving, you, my friend, are going to be miserable in that relationship. And then he says this idea, spring in them. I love this idea because Jesus is saying, the relationship I want to give you can actually become you. You can actually become this person for other people. You can become light itself. You can become this person. You can become this water. I'm not just going to give you this, but there's something I can change fundamentally about you. See, transparent relationships change you fundamentally. They don't just don't add to you. They change you. And then he says this idea of like eternal life, eternal life. And what this phrase actually means is a rich, fulfilling life. A life not that's going to come in heaven. He says eternal life, this wholeheartedness, this heaven on earth life that Jesus calls all of us to. You see, that's why relationships are so beautiful. Because they're sometimes more beautiful than something your eyes see or your mouth tastes or your nose smells. They're just so fulfilling. Relationships, they just take up all your senses because there's a sense of heaven in that. There's no glory in heaven if there's no one there. Did you know that? It's because there are people there, the presence there. And he's inviting us to this eternal life. And so what does he say to this woman? He says, I want you to move out of shadows. Shadows. And you know what she says? She's transparent. She goes, okay, well, if it's true, then she goes, what's the phrase? She goes, oh, then I want this because I'll never be thirsty again. Basically, she's saying, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to live this way. I don't have to live in shadows. Because if we don't move out of that, we will be forced to live in shadows, in shame, and in prison. I mean, that's the problem when we don't exercise transparency. We live in that. We live in the shadows. Why? Because we have to keep up this facade. We got to keep up this. We can't tell everybody who we are. We just have to keep this up. So we live in the shadows. And you know people who live in the shadows. There's some people who live in shame. That's why she comes in the afternoon to get water. And she says, oh, that's great. I'll never be thirsty again, number one. Then she says, I want her to come back here again. And she goes, I don't have to keep pretending or I don't have to live this kind of life again. I don't have to come do this. There are things that we are doing. And you know this. You know this. I know this. We've seen people do this. They do it out of shame and guilt. And for a very sad reason, like the church or religion is okay with that. As long as you're doing the right thing, it doesn't matter if you feel guilty or you live in shame. I'll shame you to do something good. I mean, I come from a culture of shame. And they're like, so basically, that's the motivation. It's like positive encouragement. That's their positive encouragement. You will never amount to anything. Feel good? Okay, do something. It's like, what? It's a shame-based thing. We live with it. And then we live in prison. What does that mean? We live in prison. I remember this person in my life once who said, you need to drive me to a rehab center. And as I was driving him there, he was like, I'm like, what's going on? He was like, I've been addicted to the prescription pills for the last 10 years of my life, and I'm done. And I'm done. And when he said, I'm done, I'm like, I kind of got it. Oh my gosh, 10 years. But you know what he said I was done with? He said, I'm done counting. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, the reason why I don't go on trips and the reason why I can't do the things that I can't spontaneously is because every day I have to count how many pills I have for the day. And I have to stash them and I got to take them with me on every trip. Because I have to get them in my system. And I'm so tired. I'm so tired of this. Like, no, people think, what's wrong with you? Why can't you go do this? Hey, let's go watch a movie. No, I'm thinking, how can I keep this going? What do I need to do? So I stash stuff here, and I put things there, and I do this, and all that. And see, the problem is that when we live our lives and we in such a way that we don't allow people in our lives, then when we fall into some things that eventually lead us to some kind of a major addiction, then we have to keep the addiction going, and then it just becomes a process of, like, keeping it going, because now we have to compensate, and now we have to, you know, keep just if it's pills or if it's alcohol, if it's whatever, and you just have to keep it going. I got to have this fixed, so I have to protect and stash and hide, and it's a mess, and you're exhausted. And she was exhausted. Jesus went right there. She goes, aren't you tired of coming here in the afternoon when no other women are here? Aren't you tired of not having any kind of community? Aren't you tired of that? And she's like, I'm so tired of that. Please, just give me this water. What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. Give me this water. And he goes, okay, well, let me ask you, how many husbands? Where's your husband? And he goes right for it. Because we think, this woman's been like, she's just been like this person who can't get into relationships and just goes from one guy to another. Really? The Bible doesn't say that. We don't even know if the first relationship she had was a love relationship, a super, one of those, like, storybook relationships. Early on, she got married. And she gave everything. She was like, this is it. I'm going to be with this guy forever. And he died. What if he died? And that wrecked her. It wrecked her. She lost it. And it screwed her up for the rest of her relationships, because she couldn't believe that the one she loved could actually die. And then after that, it just went downhill. We just assumed the worst. And Jesus is saying, I get you. I get it. I am so sorry. He's not saying, ha, 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 I know you like to sleep around. He's not saying that at all. He's saying, I get it. And I so appreciate the truth. And I get it. I know why you're staying with this guy. I get it. I get it. But let's move you out of that. See, that's what God wants us to live. The life he wants us to live is out of darkness, into light. He wants to give us water that becomes a bubbling spring. He wants us to live a life that when he calls us into transparency, we become transparent people and live full lives regardless of what we've done and who we are and how life has been terrible and how people have been terrible. Regardless of that, we move out of shame and in prison and out of of sin and out of shadows into a courageous, wholehearted life. That's what he's calling us to, and that's what he sees when he sees our relationships. That you and I would give each other grace to be transparent and live life fully, fully. So what does it look like? Let me tell you what it looks like. It looks like, number one, it looks like we recognize the gift of our limits. We recognize the gift of limitations. That you and I have been given gifts of limitations. Did you know that? You're like, you're just turning that around to make it positive. It's a gift. And you're like, I don't have any limitations. Yes, you have limitations. You know that, right? You're not perfect. Anybody know that? Okay, tell whoever does not know that, someone needs to email you. You have limitations. Your height is a limitation. Did you know that? Your weight's a limitation. Your education is a limitation. Your past is a limitation. You got all kinds of limitations in your life. How you grew up, how you did not grow up, everything is, you have limitations, but it's actually a gift of it. Forever, I used to be so paranoid about my past. And some of you, if you don't know, I grew up Muslim, and I came here to the States, had a life-altering relationship, encounter with Jesus, and then I thought, okay, I'm going to start a church. And those of you in Metro, you might not know this, but we started about 12 years ago, and so I thought, okay, we're going to come, and Ash and I, and we're going to start a family in Charlotte, we're going to start a church, it's going to be a diverse church, it's going to be great, and all this time I forgot, I am from the Middle East, and this is the South. And I had no idea the kind of limitations that had on me. The fact that people wouldn't rent things to us, couldn't get into schools forever. Hey, I look different. I get it. I'm from the Middle East. After 9/11, things changed. It's so crazy. My limitations are so different. I'll tell you, for example, a quick story. You guys want a quick story?
It's hilarious.
Okay, quick story. So I'm speaking at this church. And most churches I go to, they all have security. We have security. Churches have security. And some churches I go to speak at, especially when I'm doing a book tour on the book Ex-Muslim, they have extra security. I don't know, for me or for me. I don't know what it is. But they always have it. One church I walked into, I was about to go out, and the security team came in. They go, hey, there's a guy who just walked into the church. He has a trench coat on, fully trench coat. This was the summer. It's a summer. Okay, trench coat. He's sitting right up front. And they're like, we have never seen him before. So they're having this conversation in the green room with me. I was like, okay. So what are we going to do about that, friends? And they're like, we'll see what happens. We're going to be around you. I'm like, no. No, 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 no. They're like, they're talking about all kinds of scenarios. I'm like, what are you doing? I just want to speak. That's all I want to do. Talk about Jesus and love. You know, like, what? So we walk out, and I'm like, you guys go first. Okay? So I'm up on stage now. I'm up on stage now, and the dude is still there. Still there. Friends, I gotta tell you something. I don't think I've ever prayed. I was like, okay, this trench coat, the whole, like a full body thing. I was like, he's either has a gun in there or he's naked. That's what's going through my head. I don't think I've ever prayed, God, please let him be naked. Ever in my life. I'm like, God, just let him be naked. Let him be naked. Just let him be naked. Please flash me. Don't shoot me. As I'm thinking this, I'm like, this is the stuff I have to deal with. What? We all have limitations. I just happen to have some funny ones. Let me read you Paul's really quick. Paul says this, 2 Corinthians. He says, because of the extravagance of those revelations, he's talking about his relationship with God. He says, and so I wouldn't get a big head. I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my, what? Limitations. Satan's angels did his best to get me down. What he, in fact, did was push me to my knees. No danger of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift. I begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that. And he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your, what? Weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. The gift of what? Limitations. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, oppression, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, help me with the last phrase, what? The stronger I become. You have to recognize, appreciate the gift of limitations. You are not perfect. Paul is basically saying this. You can either pretend to be perfect or possess real power. You cannot do both. You can pretend to be perfect or you can possess real power. But that power comes from understanding your limitations. We all have it. Number 2, practice being humble in your relationships. It will take courage, but be humble in relationships. There are some of you, you are not quick to forgive, and you're not quick to ask for forgiveness. That's going to limit you every time. 1 Peter 5 says this. It says, and all of you, dress yourself in humility as you relate to one another. For God oppresses the proud, but gives what? Grace to the humble. This verse we're going to give to you as you leave in both campuses, as you walk out. This is your kind of your memory verse for this weekend. But this is so important. For some of us, it is so hard to be humble. And it is your pride that's killing your relationships. You want to come across a certain way. You want to come across perfect. You want to come across right. You just want to come across certain. You want to be admired more than you want to be known. And your wholeness lies not in the amount of people that admire you, but in the amount of people who truly know you and love you. You have to. Third, you have to seek to be wise. This is key. It's going to take intentionality. And what I mean by that is that there are certain people you cannot be fully transparent with. Did you know that? You can't. You can't. Because some people understand this truth without even knowing they understand it. They understand that sins are sacred. Sins are actually holy. Let me explain this. That your secrets, your deepest fears are sacred. When someone tells me something that is the cause of them wanting them to end their life, it's the sin and the shame, and they confess it to me, they give it to me, they go, I have this. This is, and it's driving them crazy, and it's driving them to hate themselves. When they express that, when they share that sin or secret, that's, you know what that is? That's sacred. It's holy. That's why God is so gentle with our sins. Did you know that? He doesn't go, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I'm not looking. When you confess, he takes it and he goes, this is what you just did is holy. Some people don't understand that. They think, oh, it's gossip. Oh, I'm going to so talk about this. And those people don't deserve and don't need to be the ones you're transparent with. But others of us, and maybe today you go understand, hey, when someone shares their secret and their sin, it's holy. It's holy. It's special. That's what I mean by that. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying it's you have to understand how precious that is. See, that's why some of you have not really confessed to God. You've never been transparent with your relationship with God. Because you don't think that he's going to be gentle with you. And he is. He is. He understands that your secrets are sacred. And your pain and your shame and your sin, he wants to hold it. Because with God, what he does when he holds you, he can do this. And if it's for us, it's hard. But he holds our horror of who we are and our holiness in the same hand. The same hand he loves us. And that's why he says to us in James, he says, confess your sins to one another so you may be healed. Not to everybody, but for you, that you may be healed. It's a particular group of people. So let me ask you, as we end, what do you think you have to do this week to be more transparent? You have to maybe recognize the gift of imperfection. Maybe you have to be humble. What is it? Maybe you have to seek to be wise. You haven't been wise with certain people. What does it look like? But lastly, what does it look like for you to be really transparent with God? I think for some of us, because of our past, you have not just allowed yourself to really feel everything God wants you to feel. And because of that, you've not experienced him. There is a transparent wall. And that's why worship doesn't really connect with you. Songs don't connect with you. You've never gone up to receive communion. You don't go to the cross. You're just like, I have all these things. And God's saying, hey, I know you. I know you. I know everything about you. But I need you to invite me in. Like just like that woman, I need you to just acknowledge the truth. And if you would just do that, I will hold you very, very tenderly. And I'll give you this water. I'll give you this I'll make you a person that you never thought you could be. Friends, what does it look like for you? And what hangs in the balance? What relationship hangs in the balance for you not being transparent, for you not being courageous enough to do that? What does? So if you receive, when we sing a song today, and after I pray, for some of you, you might need to receive communion today. You might need to go to the cross intentionally because you don't want to. And others of you, you might need to light a candle. Just allowing transparency is part of your life with other people. So let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you so much. Thank you for who you are, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We pray, God, that you would move us in a place, Lord God, that that's a place that's courageous. It moves us into a place, Lord, that we know that, God, that we can risk because we risk for you. We risk, Lord God, to become the people we want to be. So, God, I pray, God, as we sing this last song, as we respond, that we would have a moment, God. We would have a moment with you. That, God, we would sense you. This is a quiet moment in the midst of busyness of our lives. This is a moment. And so we just sit in it. Search me, O God. Know me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me to the way of everlasting. Jesus, I give you my life. I don't even know who I am, but whoever I am in this moment, I give to you. You know me. You know the beauty of me, in me. And you know my ugliness. You know the potential of love that I have. And you know all the hate that I feel. God, you know my joy. You know my sadness. God, would you see through me? Would you see through me? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.